Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of 342 Productions. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. Steve, how are you doing, sir?
Aha, feeling good, feeling great, happy to be here, excited to be here. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce. Dunker Nation, let's ride. Nikias. So I woke up this morning and I was watching sport climbing, and that's a really vicious sport. We can talk about that later. Anyways, it is time to shooty hoop it up.
It is indeed time. Shooty hoop it up, you reckon? Okay, well, that's a nice little twist. I'll take it. We'll take it. It is indeed time to hoop it up. Show sheet for today is pretty simple. We'll talk about both Team USA squads. Going to preview the upcoming matchups. Going to have some fun there. It's going to talk some hoops. Recap the weekend, look ahead, and we will see what the quarterfinals and the semifinals are going to look like, and we will reconvene a little bit later. Before we get into the basketball, can I just say very quickly, just so I don't have it on my mind as we get ready to pod, I'm so disappointed in the House of the Dragon finale.
Man, what happened, man? The conflicts. Desire for the throne.
Conflicts.
The dragon. Who do they trust?
You know, I'll actually allow you to do the bit today. Because no spoilers, naturally.
Feed the village.
Feed the village. Man, that could have been episode 4.5. That could have been a bonus. But anyway, that's what that was. Into things that impressed me a lot more than that finale. Team USA defeating Germany on Sunday, 87-68. Big game for Jackie Young. Saw plenty of minutes. A lot of fun things with the minutes with Team USA today. We didn't see that much Stewie. We only saw 24 minutes of Asia. Chelsea and Diana Taurasi both got that opening first quarter stretch, and we just didn't see them anymore. We really saw the bench expand in this third matchup. But beyond that, Steve, what were some of your broader takeaways from this victory from Team USA?
Team USA does it again. The versatility stands out. I think it's one of those things where they had to get a test on the way, and Germany came out, and they were ready to test them. Germany had good patience. They had good aggression. They were not afraid to attack early. Satu hit a couple quick ones, was looking to attack. Peterson was trying to attack. Fibich rejecting, taking threes. They were comfortable running their offense and getting in the post and just playing. They had the threes going early. They're up 15-6. And I thought Germany did a really good job on the defensive end, too, of being physical against Team USA's movement. Mm-hmm. So they were making them work for all their cuts. They were making them work as far as swinging the ball. Germany was getting in the passing lanes. It's funny that we only saw one stint of Chelsea Gray and Diana Taurasi, which A, prompted you to immediately say that you really like the lineup combinations. We'll circle back to that at a later date.
I just said some interesting things with the minute totals. Continue.
You're stepping on the bit. I'm sorry. And then, but it was funny because this was probably the most aggressive first quarter that Chelsea Gray and Diana Taurasi had. They just weren't making, and Germany pushed off those. And so it was one of those things where you could kind of see the luxury of Team USA to where we have this much talent, everyone's brought in, we can pivot to a different way without changing who we are. So I thought everything changed once Brittany Griner came in the game. And hey, we immediately go to her in the post, get a bucket. And all of a sudden now Germany kind of worried about her coming off those screens to the post. And now that opens up your guards who can pop on the movement, they can attack. Team USA worked to get to more drive and kick. And then on the other end, Team USA's defense solidified because, hey, some of those rim attacks y'all had, not entirely the same.
No.
We're going to end up switching. We're going to show help. I just thought it was a really good job by Team USA to kind of understand what they could do. I was a little, watching the game, I was intrigued by how much switching they would be willing to do with Brittany Griner. Not just because of BG, but mostly because the guards, which is no disrespect, but how many times can you do a Sabrina and or Kelsey on post matchup? But I did like the fact that they had Alyssa Thomas, Nafisa Collier just roaming, and the guards just had to be active. I thought Jackie Young, we were talking about her offensive game, her activity on defense was key early
on. Sure was.
You had Kalia Copper back in and just making things very tough on you when you're off the ball. They basically told Satu it's not going to be you today. Whether it was Alyssa Thomas's ball pressure, Jackie Young's ball pressure, late in the game, Ka's ball pressure. No, And then you combine that with the screen navigation. We mix in our unders. Team USA did a good job. So I think there's just a really fun through line for this Team USA to have that kind of second unit and to be able to kind of get back in this game, not with a three big lineup that we've talked about previously, but three guards. Let's play Sabrina. Let's play Jewel Lloyd. Let's play Jackie Young. Let's do the defense thing, but let's make it work. What stood out to you?
It's a lot of fun. Like, I was also going to start with the second unit. Naturally, Jackie Young leading all scorers. The three-pointers were important. The defense was really good from her. I'm glad you brought up her pressure and her navigation, because I think that helped change the tide of the game. And sticking with the second unit, Alyssa Thomas just continuously being a game changer when she comes in. All right, fine. I'm going to grab this board. We're pushing. We're getting into stuff. We're flowing side to side. I'm helping increase the ball movement with this unit in the half court. But in this game in particular, drawing two offensive fouls within like the first minute and a half that she was out there, she set the tone early. Like, one, I'm going to be in your jersey. Two, you're just not going to have this. You're not going to have the same flow. You're not going to have the same comfort. If you are getting into the paint, which ties into your Brittany Griner point, if you're even going to get into the paint, you got to get through me first. If you want to pass to someone that wants to drive to the basket, you got to pass it by me first. And just like, that is just a terrifying situation for an opponent offense. Alyssa Thomas is really freaking good at defense. Sorry, that's a dull thing to say, but just watching her instantly come in like, nope, I'm chest to chest with you. Oh, you're annoyed already, huh? There's a whistle. Now we're playing offense. Oh, you want me to navigate a screen? You're not set because I'm chewing up this space before you can even get going. Now it's another offensive foul because you tripped me. I just love how instantaneous that was. But Jackie was really good. I continue to be impressed by, like, we've talked about Sabrina and her defense and how active she's been. She's had her head on the swivel, making sure she's switching out and scrambling out what she needs to, active as a helper, et cetera. Like, Kelsey's ball pressure, like, Kelsey versus Alexis Peterson was exactly what I thought that was going to be.
Kelsey being massively irritating with full court pressure. To the point where you could just see the eyes of Peterson and be like, I know exactly what she's thinking right now.
Yep. That was exactly what you thought that would have been heading into the game. Because like we said, similar things about Alexis Peterson throughout this run. She's going to get into the paint. She's going to live in the paint. She's going to scramble your defense on the other end. She's going to pressure you. She's going to be handsy with you. If your handle is loose, she's at least poking at the ball, if not stealing it. And Kelsey Plum being a similar irritant. Like, all right, you've had a lot of fun getting to the paint. Cross half court first. Let's have some fun. And I'll eat these fouls if I have to, but you're just not going to be comfortable. And I think that was, you know, bouncing off what you said, the through line of not just the second unit being impactful, but how they want it to be impactful. Nice 15-6 start. That was cute. You're working now. And you're probably going to be annoyed while you're working on top of that.
It's kind of funny you say that. Because we talk about the second unit, but it's like they all not have just bought into their roles, but have just taken pieces of themselves and said, yep, I'm just doing this. Like you mentioned Alyssa Thomas. I know you talk about the spacing, but Alyssa Thomas, I'm going to initiate. If you swing it to me, I'm moving it somewhere else. And then if I'm spaced, I'm going to find a crease or somewhere and I'm going to crash. And you just have to deal with me. Like that's my favorite part, just watching Alyssa Thomas just hover around the elbow. Like, I think there was a play early on where it was like Jackie Young and Asia on the left side with a pick and roll, and Stewie got a pin down from AT, and AT just flipped it into a flare. And I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. But most of that happened just because Alyssa Thomas is just roaming around looking to hit someone so she can get closer to the basket. And I find that enjoyable, like Kelsey Plum. All she want to come in is pressure the ball, drive a little bit, get an and-one, get hyped. I'm cool.
Sabrina
will come in. Spring will come in. Hey, let me pass the ball to anyone who's open and hit you with these rotations and stunts. Like, you know what I mean? Jewel Lloyd, bucket time, bucket time, activity time.
I don't do it.
that's just kind of the flow. It's very fun to watch them kind of dive into that. I think the other part about it, just kind of build off what you said with that second unit. The tough part about this Team USA, with everyone being bought in and on the same page, they keep moving the goalpost defensively. And so if you counter the confidence Germany had early on, you could just kind of see as the game wore on, it got less and less because where do you go? Like, okay, you want to go pick and pop with Brittany Griner? Does that take away from what you were doing anyways? The ball pressure from the guards, they're containing the drive. So that takes away your flow. You can't just automatically get to drive and kick. their stunts when you have a drive. They recover back out. The Team USA starts switching, and you feel like, okay, we have matchups in the post. Well, actually, here's Alyssa Thomas or Nafisa Collier coming to help. Okay, let's get back to pick and roll. Well, Team USA is just going under everything. So do you want to take the pull-up or no? Like, they just kind of just take pieces of your offense and make you not feel good about running it. And all of a sudden, a team that was humming and confident is now, okay, there's 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Where do we go now?
Oh, no. Yeah. And once Team USA is able to get you in those situations, their transition attack has popped throughout this entire run. And so now once you're missing, or now you're throwing these haphazard passes, now they're getting the easy stuff and they're getting to further set that defense, and the trend just continues. And from there, we saw it really turn, third quarter, honestly. Well, you saw it in the second quarter, start to see the shades of it. Once third quarter hits, like, oh, well, this is unfortunate. This is deeply unfortunate, as someone would say. It's been a lot of fun watching Team USA's defense kind of perk up. The other thing I would say as far as like a big theme, I've mentioned like Breonna Stewart's minutes. And just in general, it didn't feel like the starters played a ton outside of Fee. She was just around her normal minute number, which I feel like that's just part of the general ramp up for her. Again, she's been out and really just ramping up playing time now. So that might be a factor for that. But these first half starts from Breonna Stewart, to where she just decides, actually, none of you can guard me, I'm just going to sprinkle in all of these shots. It's incredibly fun because it's been her and Asia this entire time. Like, it's clear that those are the two best players on the team. They are the two top options on the team, et cetera. But watching it kind of subtly turn into, actually, this is just the Stewie first quarter. I'm going to get these post-ups. I'm going to get these ISOs in the mid-post. Let's have some fun. I'm shooting over the top of you. I'm getting to the basket. You're not doing anything with this. If there's a miss, here's Asia Wilson on the offensive glass. They just dominate so much inside. You already mentioned Brittany Griner earlier, what she means defensively. You mentioned the early post-up, too. And once Team USA gets into some of the high-low stuff, or it's just driving kick, here's a lay-down pass to Brittany Griner. And like, I always get a chuckle out of that when the defense breaks down and it's just Brittany Griner barely leaving the ground, here's a layup. Like, oh, well, that's the last thing I want to see if I'm a defense. You don't have to work for this at all. Be just like, oh, well, hey, I'm tall, I'm open, here's a bucket. It was really neat. In a game where Team USA like shot well from deep, again, spearheaded by Jackie Young making five threes, it didn't feel like a reliance on the three ball. Like, it really felt like once they were able to settle in the defense, they were able to get to, as you said, like able to get four of the driving kick. It just felt easier from there. And so it's just kind of funny to see teams like hit Team USA early and it still just winds up being what, a 19-point win. Once they figure out, oh, that's what you're doing, we're going to take that away. Oh, this is where our pockets are offensively. Or this is the lineup combination that gets us to what we want to get to offensively. All right, bet. Let's just do that. And then it's just cooked. Very enjoyable basketball game.
I go back to Germany had 19 in the first quarter, and they had five points in the first 8 minutes of the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And you're dealing with that run with that second unit. And then about midway through, it's like, oh, yeah. Here's Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart back into the game, just if you would like to have more fun with that. And here's the thing. Team USA turned up the pressure in the third quarter. They were more active. They were more physical. They were bumping cutters, the ball pressure they're getting in the passing lane. So now, okay, not only have we gotten used to what you're doing, but now we're just going to make it even harder in general. Mm-hmm. I do want to give a quick salute to cutting Nafisa Collier. Mm-hmm. Like, just I'm spaced, let me dive. I think there was one play. She was on the wing, cut, didn't get it, refreshed, cut again. And Sabrina was like, yeet, and hit a fadeaway. And there were a couple times where she just crashed in from the corner. So it took poor Satu by surprise. Like, hey.
Boy, this I'll be taking that. Satu looking up like, I don't even think she wanted to call. It was just more like, did nobody see her? Ain't nobody would have warned me that this was on the way. Actually, quick note on Satu, though, as we bring to her. Like, I think kind of projecting forward to the second half of the W season, naturally we're going to see Satu at the wings. And I know they're very excited to get her back and into the lineup. But just kind of zooming out for the 20 stretch at large, her comfort going into pull-up threes is, I am keeping my eye on that one. Because she is fresh off the best three-point shooting season she's had in the W. And you mentioned the unders that Germany saw. Zooming out from this Team USA game, she's seen unders and hasn't even thought about it. Like, okay, I'm just letting this fly. And they're going in. And if she's more comfortable taking that specific shot against unders and just quickly flowing into those pull-ups, sprinkling in some sidesteps on top of that, that combined with the drives, like, there's another level she can get to as an offensive player that really excites me. So I did want to highlight that portion of the program for her.
No, I respect it. I like that. I think Zadu's been very good. It's been just fun to watch her play basketball again, but also you can kind of see as it goes on, you know, the ramp up is obvious, but some of those drives starting to pick up a little bit. Now, I'm adding these threes. We piece that all together. We remember what Zadu did last year, so it wouldn't be a surprise for her to take another leap. It's so... I feel bad for Germany, man, because they're finally settled in on post-ups. Only Alyssa Thomas was the one defending, and Brittany Griner was at the elbow, and Asia Wilson's roaming to help on the baseline. It's like, okay, now they went to the big sequences. I was like, come on, man, that's a whole lot. Do you want to talk about three-point shooting real quick?
Sure.
Like, I had this in my notes. It's a little funny. As you mentioned, Team USA doesn't feel like they've relied on it. It's just felt like the best plays or the best threes they've generated just don't go in. Mm-hmm. Like they've not made them. It's like, oh, this is great ball movement, wide open three, clank. And it's like, I don't know what to do with that. Would you like some fun facts on the small rabbit hole I went down?
Yes.
So Team USA, 18 for 55 from three so far in the Olympics. Hmm. 9 of those made 18 came in the Germany game.
Ah, well.
Five of those came from Jackie Young, who had not attempted a three-pointer in the two previous games. And here's my most fun fact, or not fun, depending on how you feel about it. There's not one player on Team USA that has made a three in every game.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Well, one, thank you for that. Two, that either means the floodgates are coming soon, or... there may be a hashtag bad variance game coming in which nobody hits them. And it's like, oh, well, darn. What do we do here? Oh, I'll get quickly to the not relying on three-point portion. 51 attempts inside the arc for Team USA in this one against Germany, only 21 from behind the arc. It's a pretty massive split. But yeah, like the three-point shooting has been weird. Like to your point, I haven't felt awful about the quality. I will say like during some of the like the early stretches where Team USA is trying to find it, you get some of the contested ones. Like, okay, I don't think we need those. You can make that because you're good, but maybe not. But teams have also been trying to run Team USA off the line, or at the very least, like, we're going to make all these looks tough. They don't want them to get going. Because if those are also falling, you can't guard Asia one-on-one inside the arc. You can't guard Stewie one-on-one inside the arc. You can't do that to BG. If the three-point shooters are hitting, then you just don't really have an answer. So that's part of it. And I think back to early in the first quarter, I'm trying to remember which game they also did this with, but it's not the first time that they like basically opened with an elevator play for Diana Taurasi. And watching Germany just converge on Diana Taurasi when they went to it early, it's like, oh, nah, they don't want any of this to happen. No, actually. On the guard front, actually, not even on the guard front. I'll just ask on the lineup front. What do you think Team USA's best lineup is right now?
It's a very good question. You're saying best overall?
Yeah, best overall. Not calling for a starting lineup change or anything like that. Just
because I was going to say, for anyone who's calling for a starting lineup change, look, do you want Chelsea Gray and Diana Taurasi to go through warmups and then come off the bench? I don't think you do. We can be honest. Mm. Anyways, it's got to be, oh, this is a tough decision. I don't like this. I don't like it at all.
It's tough. I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, actually, I know two players that are in it.
I have a conceptual combination in my head because I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm about to disrespect somebody. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. So, Breanna Stewart, Asia Wilson, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would probably, Jackie Young is in there. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to give myself an out.
Okay.
I'm going to go with this lineup. I'm going to go with a good big lineup and a good small lineup to give myself an out.
That's amazing.
So if we're going big, I would say Asia Wilson, Breanna Stewart, Alyssa Thomas with Jackie Young and Kelsey Plum.
Okay.
It's probably, for some reason, my favorite combination. If we're going smaller, give me Sabrina. Give me Jackie Young. I'm lying again. This is going to be Nafisa Collier. Asia Wilson and Brittany Griner.
Oh,
that what's is... yours, man? Why'd you do this to me?
That's tremendous work. My ideal lineup is probably Sabrina, Jackie, Stewie, Asia, and AT. I think is what it looks like.
That's fair.
But even with that, like to your point, there are so many different combinations they can toss out there. Like, that's the luxury of this team. But like, they'll probably be those five. I think like swapping out Kelsey and Sabrina, like I think that's a fair thing to do. You get even more aces synergy there. And I think we saw that lineup went midway through the second quarter. And buddy, I wish I had these specific like plus minus numbers on the lineup. I think they did just win those minutes when those five were out there. So naturally that would be another good alternative. But I think I've kind of settled in on Stewie, AT, Asia. It's kind of like the ideal front court pairing so far. Sophia's been solid, but she hasn't popped offensively to the degree we're used to yet. Though to your point earlier, like the cutting surely hit in this one. With BG, obviously the post-ups are valuable. It's easier to shift like schemes defensively if you're going with AT instead of BG on that front. So like, I just like having the ability to do all that stuff if I want to. So I think that's where I would go. Sabrina gives you the high volume 3-point shooting. Jackie also can knock them down. You just kind of have fun from there. So I think that's where I would land.
The high volume 3-point shooting. Now she gives you this high volume passing.
I mean that too.
are you open?
But that helps. Hey, Sabrina, the injury. Hey, Sabrina, one pass away from a post up from Asia Wilson or Breanna Stewart. You have fun defending that, bud. What you supposed to do with that? But just very quickly on the stat front, 51% on twos for Team USA. Germany converted 46% of theirs. 9 of 21 from 3 from Team USA, shot 43%. Germany went 10 of 26, shot 38%. Not a high free throw game. Both teams took 9 free throw attempts. Team USA made 8. Germany made 6. 25 assists on 35 made shots for an assist rate of 71.4 for Team USA. 14 assists on 26 made shots for Germany, around a 54 assist rate. Team USA won the rebounding edge, 42-32, an 8-3 edge on the offensive glass. 16 stocks, 12 steals and 4 blocks for Team USA. They also won the turnover battle. They committed 16, while Germany committed 23 of them. Before getting to the player stats, did you have any other thoughts or anything that popped for you, any questions before we move forward?
I think I got everything out there.
Okay. Good deal. Jackie Young, once again, led the way with 19 points. Also had 4 steals off the bench. Asia Wilson with 14 points in 24 minutes. Breanna Stewart with 13 points in 17 minutes. Something that I had a lot of fun with when I looked at the box score. Kelsey Plum, Sabrina Ionescu, Alyssa Thomas, all 3 of them each had 6 points and 5 assists off the bench. I don't know if I've seen that before, ever. So combined, 18 and 15 between the 3, if I can do quick math. Satu Sabali with 15 points and 5 boards for Germany. Alexis Peterson with 14 points, 4 assists and a steal. Leonie Fevish with 10 points and 2 steals. Another collision with her in this game. But from Miles Ehrlich, they don't fear any major injury. They think she's going to be okay. So as we move into the next set of games, she should be good to go for Germany. As far as the other games that happened over the weekend, China defeating Puerto Rico 80-58 on Saturday. Limon with 18, 5, and 7. Lee Yeru with 14 and 7. Hanzu with 10 points and 9 rebounds in 12 minutes off the bench. Having some fun against Puerto Rico. Spain with a 70-62 victory over Serbia. Only 4 points for Megan Gustafson, who's been really good for Spain this Olympic run. 9 boards for her. Maria Conde with 15 points and 3 steals. Yvonne Anderson with 18 points, 7 assists, and 4 steals. Belgium defeating Japan 85-58 on Sunday. Emma Mieseman with 30 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 4 blocks. Nigeria defeating Canada 79-70. If I could pause quickly on this one. 26 turnovers for Canada. 11 of them coming from Shea Colley. Nigeria's defense is so aggressive, complimentary. They just do not let you run offense sometimes. If you're not prepared for their pressure, or if you're just lackadaisical or something, like there were a few of those steals for Nigeria to where Canada gets an offensive rebound and they're just looking to kick the ball out to reset things. And here comes a player just shooting out, taking that pass coast to coast. It's like, you just can't. they don't let you. I just love how unrelenting they are defensively. 26 steals for Canada, 16 steals for Nigeria for that one. But Ezene Kalou with 21 points, 3 steals. Promise Mukamara with 12 points, 6 assists, and 5 steals. For Canada, Bridget Carlton with 13 points. Shea Colley, again, 11 turnovers, which you never want, but did have 17 points. Australia defeating France 79-72. Tess Madgen with 18 points, went 4 of 6 from 3 off the bench. Sammy Whitcomb with 12 points and 7 assists. Alana Smith with 12 points. Ezzy Mabagoor with 14 points and 6 rebounds. For France, Gabby Williams with 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Marine Yohannes with 9 points, didn't shoot that well from the field. But Steve, if you were able to catch any of those games, did anything pop for you?
A whole bunch of things popped for me. I think for one, Australia against France, I was like, hey, the defense, that's right. That's a lot of defense they can play. You have to deal with Ezzy and Alana Smith. That's a lot to deal with. And then I was like, oh, the offense. Wait. And then I was like, oh, Sammy Whitcomb, would you like to run pick and roll with A-Big? That does keep working. So let's just keep doing that. It's interesting to kind of watch France where it's like, okay, I have believed in them, but then they didn't score for like 4 minutes. And I'm like, well, what do I do with that going into the next round? I like your Nigeria point, but before I get back to that, can we just say a wild run for Belgium and China? So China lost to Spain by 1 to open the tournament, right? Belgium loses to Germany by 14. China loses to Serbia by 22. Belgium loses to Team USA by 13. China beats Puerto Rico by 22 points. Belgium beats Japan by 27. So in one game, Belgium evened everything up. And China wiped everything away but the opening loss to Spain. And that is what some would call deeply unfortunate. Because Belgium advances with a 0 point differential.
That's fire. China. And this is why point differential matters, folks.
Oh, God.
Play to the final whistle. Sorry, that's all I got.
You don't mean that. It's interesting. I wanted to give a hat tip to Nigeria for advancing to the knockout round. They're taking 2 wins. No African country in men or women's basketball had ever made it to the quarterfinals of the Olympics. So give a salute to them.
It's a big salute.
Got their first win in the Olympics in 20 years. Didn't even win a game in Tokyo, if I recall correctly. And now they made history. And their reward is Team USA in the first round. Well, one thing I will say that stood out with Nigeria, they play with belief. Like you talked about the defense. We'll touch on that again. They are patient offensively, which can be a plus or a negative, depending on the scenario. But they are comfortable as that clock goes down. And they are looking to drive that basketball. And if you're not ready, they're going to drive that basketball. And you think, okay, they're stuck. No, they're going to drive that basketball and take whatever shots open. They don't stop. Very active on defense. So it's going to be interesting to see if Team USA can kind of lock in on that. Because I'm sure they're going to play with like they have nothing to lose. And so they're going to have to jump on them on the start.
Yeah, I was going to say very quickly before you continue. The entire second half, because like Nigeria jumped on Canada and Canada's like, actually, we're just going to race this entire lead in the first quarter and kind of bump this up to double digits. The entire second half was Nigeria saying, one, hey, good luck moving the ball. And two, post up drive, post up drive, post up drive, kick out 3-pointer, post up drive, post up drive. And Canada could not do anything on the interior defensively against Nigeria. I felt bad for the front court, which is both like they don't have like a massive player at the five. And they're also just generally young in the front court with who they brought to the team. And it just felt, you could just, to your belief point, you could just see Nigeria realizing in real time, oh, we could just kind of go down here and get what we need to get. And so I was both impressed with Nigeria, but I also kind of felt a little bad for Canada. I was like, dang, these are a lot of paint attacks. And it just did not matter after after halftime. So that's all I had quickly on that front.
Yeah, you know, I'm intrigued to see going forward. I know you haven't mentioned the bracket yet, but even Emma Mismin against Megan Gustafson, I would like to see that. That's feel bad for Germany and France. Both coming off a loss, they got to face each other. Hey.
Everybody mad, and somebody's going to be even more upset at by the end of that game. But we can quickly just look ahead to the bracket. As we have on one side, Spain versus Belgium, we have Germany versus France, and on the other side, we have Serbia and Australia. And as we already briefly alluded to, Team USA taking on Nigeria. I guess just on the Team USA Nigeria front, I was going to toss the question, hey, what are you looking for in this one? But you have already given your answer. Boom. So quick thumbs up to Steve. I will just say, if we're nitpicking with Team USA through the first three games, like some of the first quarter starts have been a little slow on the slower side, taking a minute to kind of get into their flow. But I guess like stat wise, you kind of look, it's like, hey, some of these turnover numbers aren't super ideal. Like, luckily for Team USA, it's been a lot of, oh, I thought you were cutting, I'm tossing it here. Or I didn't know you were cutting, I'm tossing it here. So it's been more of the dead ball variety. And if you're going to turn the ball over, you take those versus the live ball stuff. But in general, with how Nigeria likes to pressure the ball, just how active and physical they are off the ball, it is going to be important for Team USA to make sure that they take care of the basketball. Because if they do not, the game could get funny. Because as you mentioned, Nigeria is not afraid to drive. And so if the containment isn't there, I would imagine Cheryl Reeve will have to cycle through some of these lineup combinations to get a group out there that can contain drives. But if it's turnovers, then you're talking about transition stuff. And then Nigeria gets to set up their defense. And you don't want Team USA to get rigid in the half court. So for me, it's just keeping an eye on what the turnover number is going to be. I do think, in general, like they should be able to win the rebounding battle again. Like, obviously, they're heading into this game with at least the best two players on the court in Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart. So, in theory, like, Team USA should and will be favored in this one. But this is not going to be a game that they just take. This shouldn't be a cakewalk for them. And so they have to take care of the basketball. That's probably going to be the number one thing I'm looking for heading into that one. But with any of the other three matchups, you mentioned Megan Gustafson and Emma Mieseman, Germany and France. Anything in particular with Germany and France that you're excited to see?
Who can generate offense? Mainly with France. Germany is a pretty good defensive team. They got good size. They got good length. So is France going to be able to generate, or is this going to be like the Australia game where it's just a little more muddy than you would like it?
Mm. I'm with it. I would imagine we see Gabby Williams defending Satu. I would like to see that at the very least. That's going to be a fun battle for me personally. So excited to see that one. I want to see if Spain actually has an answer for Emma Mieseman. At this point, the answer has just been a resounding no. Overall, even when Belgium was taking losses, it hasn't been because Emma just hasn't been able to do anything offensively. So that should be a fun one. I do wonder if we get like a similar going back to what the Spain-China game. Or it's just Megan and Lee Yeru, just all kinds of buckets going back and forth. Do we see a similar aspect there? And then with the Serbia-Australia game, I guess more so just keeping an eye on the guard play in that one. We already mentioned Sammy Whitcomb. Like, Steph Talbot has filled gaps nicely for Australia. We haven't had, like, the big game from her. So just curious to see what Australia gets from the backcourt. I think that's what I have there. Do you have any predictions, or you just want to leave it there?
Well, I think for one thing, to keep an eye on Australia, that, hey, look, no one scored over 75 against them. Don't forget that part. Now, can they score? That will be the big question. But the defense has been there. So if we're talking predictions, I'm not sure. I'm not going to put that on anybody.
Okay.
But I would say don't sleep on Germany and Belgium.
Okay. That's fair. I guess I'll make some.
It's also very interesting. Team USA on both the men and women's side potentially awaits the winner of Serbia against Australia.
It's interesting how that all shook up. I guess I'll just quickly, we're going to say Belgium, Germany, Australia, Team USA. They would be my four picks. And then we move to the next round.
Wow, you're picking against France, huh?
Man, it's the offense thing in Germany. So, Leo Fevish on the weak side has been one of the more terrifying sights in Olympic play so far. And if she's good to go, hey, France is going to have the work cut out for him generating offense. Now, we both know who could just flip all of that on its head in Marin Johannes. Actually, we come back on the next pod. Hey, who guess who had 23 points in 18 minutes off the bench? It's like, well, fair enough, but ultimately,
hey, I'll take my apology when it happens. It's fine.
Okay, there you go. You go ahead and bake it in. Okay, do you have any closing thoughts there?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, cool. Well, then we will shift to the men's side. Team USA defeating Puerto Rico on Saturday, a 103-84 victory. in that one, another new starting lineup with new Jrue Holiday, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid back in the starting lineup in this one. But zooming out more broadly, Steve, what popped for you in this game?
I was going to flip it to you to see what popped to you, because I feel like we had different visions and thoughts about this game. For me, it felt like Team USA just kind of took care of business. And I think that, again, Team USA, they had to answer a challenge as well. It was I had no doubts this wasn't going to be the easiest one to start, because Puerto Rico had nothing to play for but pride, and you knew they were going to have that in spades, and they came out ready to go. I think for me, the balance of Team USA kind of stood out. Like, it was very funny to me. I thought, hey, what if the key to getting Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum to play well is just playing them together and starting the lineup? But this is a Team USA impact game where the offense was probably ahead of the defense in this one. Thought in the first half, at least to start, Team USA was staying solid defensively, but didn't have that same activity. That didn't have that same pressure. Like, I liked Embiid mixing his coverages, came up to the level a couple times, but Puerto Rico was ready to go and ready to fire and let things go. And I think it was one of those times where once the second unit came in, you felt like, okay, we're going to get the energy. And then Puerto Rico immediately went on an 8-0 run. And it's like, well, where's that energy going to go? And what happened was, I think they did a really good job, that second unit, of turning up the ball pressure. And now they're adding switching in. And now everything's more contained. So Puerto Rico went from letting it fly and feeling comfortable just moving the ball side to side to, well, let's post up Derek White. And for one, that's not like an easy automatic bucket. Two, that also leaves the help side defenders as Bam Adebayo, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Anthony Edwards. So they can just kind of roam and help a little bit. And then Team USA got the scram switch and Derek White out of there. And then it was like, okay, dude, you're not having much fun. So they were able to get stops. They were able to get out and run. I think just having that bench lineup that has its own identity, to where it's like, yes, we have Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards, but we also have defenders. This is not going to be a fun experience for you. Like, Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo together has been really fun to watch. Derek White just does the little things. It's, hey, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do. You want me to full court press? I'll get a steal. It's fine. I'll switch. I'll go under. We'll make it work. So I think for that unit to go ahead and still give up that 8-0 run, but then the 39-16 second quarter to break the game open, it was pretty neat to watch that. I will say Puerto Rico going zone wasn't intriguing, except Team USA was like, well, not so much. Like, I think in the first half, it was very quickly to see that Puerto Rico was like, oh, that's right, we do have to guard Joel Embiid ceiling in the paint. And hey, that's LeBron James wide open at the top, and he's driving and kicking. Oh no. And oh, that's Kevin Durant wide open in the middle of the zone. We should probably take care of that. Oh, what do you mean Anthony Edwards is wide open on the left side of the floor? Oh, okay. They didn't score on either of those, but it was very quick to see, hey, maybe zone isn't the automatic against this Team USA that people may think. Mm-hmm. What were your takeaways to start?
Ooh, buddy. I think the second quarter was very much the Nikias gets quiet quarter. Because, buddy, the start of that game. And, like, we talked about it on the last pod. Like, hey, this is not going to be an easy game for Team USA. Now, final score probably looks a little different. But it just in general, like, this team's going to come out with energy. They're going to want to drive the basketball. They're certainly going to try to get shots up from deep. If Team USA isn't locked in, this could get funny. And sure enough, like, Puerto Rico kind of ran free early on. I was like, what is this? What are these pockets that they're just pulling up into? What are some of these drives? You make a shot, and then Puerto Rico's able to just get generate a quality look early in the clock. It's like, hey, what's happening here? Puerto Rico misses a shot. Nobody boxes out. Here's yet another offensive rebound for Puerto Rico. I'm just like, friends. To your super early comment of this game, like, take care of business. They eventually got there. And as we saw as the second quarter progressed, Team USC's defense perked up. They got stops. They got out in transition. And then it was just over from there. I was like, okay, neat. Did we have to get here, though, before all of this happened? So, like, I was a very annoyed watcher very early on in the game. And as the second quarter went on, as they were able to finally stack some stops together, it's like, oh, well, this is 9. This is 13. This is 17. Oh, there she wrote. And so for me, it was just more, and I'm glad you brought up the zone example, because I was intrigued, because I don't think, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head if any other team had went zone against Team USA. And I was like, huh, this is an interesting thing to sprinkle in. I don't know if you could do that against this personnel, but I am curious to see, like, if Team USA, you know, when they get to the, if they make it to the gold medal round, whoever makes it out of the other side of the bracket, like, what does it look like if one of those teams tries to go zone against Team USA? So it was interesting to get, like, a quick peek there. To your second unit point, again, like, I've been enjoying them because of how they can just ramp up the defensive pressure, just put the early clamps on. Took a minute for them to get there, but eventually got there. And I guess other, like, just broader take, this is the best Joel Embiid's look in Olympic play with Team USA so far. I think that's just refreshing to have, to see Embiid getting those seals, getting those quick buckets. A very early recognition that, oh, I'm just bigger and stronger than a lot of y'all. Yeah, either I am getting an easy scoring opportunity, or y'all are sending help and someone else is open. And I think for Embiid, he probably just needs to have a stretch of play like that, to where he can just kind of be himself for a small pocket of time and just force defenses to react. So I think that's probably it for me in terms of the broad takeaways. But yeah, the attention to detail, I think, could have been better early on in that game, if I'm going to be the stickler. You know?
I think this is my favorite part about Nikias. He's all about the process. Without having to deal with the pain of having the process, knowing the process, and it not working, or you not executing, like, you still have to find a way to win the game. And so that's it. Well, you got to figure out, okay, how do we navigate back towards that? It's like, you ever go driving and you miss an exit, and you're waiting for it to recalculate the route for you, and it's telling you to do a U-turn. It's like, no. I missed that. I still need to get there. Can you just tell me where the next part is? And then eventually, a couple minutes later, it's like, fine, go straight, take a right here. It's like, see, I told you there was a way this way. Sometimes it happens. Team USA didn't necessarily have the best defensive performance, but they found it. And I think that's important. I think the thing for Team USA is the fact that they've played different teams and they've had to use different styles to a degree in the buildup. So they had South Sudan, had to deal with that transition, had to deal with that speed. Okay, we got a different mindset in this game. Against Serbia, we got Jokic. We have to deal with that. We can do different things against their sets. Against Puerto Rico, let's turn the water off. Let's find a different way. But being able to navigate those within the game, I think, is one of the more fun parts about this team. Like, shouldn't be lost that, again, this is a team that has bought in to their roles. Everyone comes in and does their job. And that's really hard when they're this talented. Like, I think the fact that, and it's one of the things, I guess I'll ask this question, but I really liked Steve Kerr just very quietly, I think it was the second quarter, just mixing in Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, LeBron, KD, and Anthony Davis. Hey, let's just see what this looks like real quick. And that group was fun to watch because you had LeBron pushing in transition and everyone's running. He's surveying his options. And, oh, yeah, that's Steph Curry trailing on the wing. Let me just throw it there. Defense closes out. Extra pass. Kevin Durant in the corner. Like, hey, they didn't even make that either. But that was pretty fun for me. Trying to think about some other random things I enjoyed. Devin Booker, random screener, was fun. Like, hey, LeBron, yeah, I'll screen for you. Slip.
I will again say, this has been a really good Olympic run for Devin Booker. And this was one of, if not the quietest, like, box score game that he's had so far. But he's done everything Team USA has asked him to do.
He's understood this. He's understood the assignment. Defense threes, I'll come off screens. Whatever y'all need me to do, I got it. Jason Tatum, I thought, had a couple good moments that didn't go in the box score. Drive, quick drive, didn't finish, but he also had a post up that Puerto Rico helped, which left Steph Curry open, which confused me briefly.
Keep doing that. Yeah.
But hey, he did his job. The Joel Embiid post ups with just a ton of space. Like, not just the shenanigans and the booing and the sequence where he got the block and scored, but just like the, I was like, that's a lot of space for Joel Embiid. Are y'all sure y'all would like to do that? And then shout out to Anthony Edwards.
Can I raise my hand?
Go ahead, buddy.
Because if you didn't get to Anthony Edwards, I would. First, you know, 26 points, that's kind of a big deal. He got the buckets. It was very much trying to score as much as he could. I will leave that there in the second half. But there was a possession in the second half where we get a breakaway for Anthony Edwards. And you know what he does, Steve? He doesn't give us a layup. He doesn't give us a two-hand rim grazer. He doesn't give us like a ferocious one-handed dunk and then yell at the crowd and timeout, et cetera. Clean windmill. Clean windmill for Anthony Edwards. We talk about understanding the assignment. Athletic on a fast break, windmill dunk, 2 points on the board. Crowd's into it, bench is into it. Nikias Duncan is into it. That's what it's all about right there. So I just wanted to quickly salute Anthony Edwards.
Nikias,
for giving us a
windmill. 2 points is 2 points.
Sure is, bud. And those were electric 2 points. And for that, I say thank you to Anthony Edwards for giving us the fast break windmill.
No, this is the same man who saw LeBron in the headband on the break and was upset that he just did a two-hand dunk, not knowing that LeBron doing a two-hand dunk in 2024 is about all we can ask for, right?
LeBron gave us better fast break dunks during the regular season this past season. I will once again say, it doesn't have to be 360 between the legs. Give us the OG Anunoby reverse dunk. That's the bar for me. 180, boom. All I'm saying is if you are by yourself and there's no defender trying to get the chase down, et cetera, and you still getting up there, give us something. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is 2 points is 2 points.
It sure is. That's what LeBron said too. So I may be the minority opinion on this, and that's okay. I will plant my flag on this one. And if you don't want to do that, you want to save the legs, all the good stuff, understandable. Lay it up. If you are open, if you are committing to the dunk, if you are making the choice to commit to the dunk, give us something. If not, health reasons, security, I don't want to get too crazy, I don't want to miss. Understandable. Kiss it off the glass, 2 points or 2 points. That's cool. Favorite. You don't hear anything from me. That's all I'm saying.
Anyways. I got moving right along. What else did you have from this game?
Actually, I was going to toss a question to you. If I can recycle a question from the Team USA women's squad. What do you think Team USA's best lineup is? Because we have seen multiple starting lineups in group play for Team USA due to injuries elsewhere. No Jrue Holiday in this one with the ankle injury.
I'm leaning towards Stephen Curry, Anthony Edwards, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis.
That's the one.
I think that would be the one. I might put Jrue in there for someone. Might just be my favorite. A Jrue Holiday lineup should probably be in there. I'm trying to go through my notes, see which one I like the most. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens rotation wise, because they won't have the automatic person that's just not playing, so to speak. So I'm intrigued by that. Nah, I'll probably hold steady on that lineup. I like it. It's very fun to watch. What is yours?
Steph, Ant, KD, Bron, and AD. Like, it's. It's probably that one for me. I think the only thing I'm really trying to decide against is like if I really want to just ramp up the defense with that group. And in that case, like, hey, Steph, we appreciate you, big dog. And then we either like size up, you can go with the two big setup with AD and Bam again, or you can toss out a wing in there if you want that to be Devin Booker, if you want that to be Tatum. Like, either one of those be fine. And you just have size, athleticism, shooting, ball handling all across the lineup. But based on just what we've seen, like, it is probably that Steph, Ant, KD, Bron, AD. Like, that is just an absurd amount of length, 3 through 5. Steph can shoot from wherever. Anthony Edwards will shoot from wherever. Or he will shoot whenever, rather. And you get the drives there. It's just, like, that's really balanced. And it's also just like a, hey, here's the future of Team USA. Here's the older generation Team USA. Like, that's also just like a fun blend of folks. You got like the Ant AD and you got the big three, Steph, KD, Bron. Like, this is really neat.
So. I'm a little surprised you didn't go with the Derek White, Jrue Holiday.
All the defense?
Yeah,
man, you know me. You know, I love a little defense.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't think we've seen it, but I kind of want to see Derek White, Jrue Holiday, Kevin Durant, Bam, and Anthony Davis together.
Yeah, go score. I dare you. This is Jrue and Derek White just screening for literally everyone, and I like it. I like it. Oh, I will, as far as we're going into questions, other thoughts. So Team USA, I had this down in the notes. Team USA has given up at least 10 offensive rebounds in every game they played so far. Is that an attention to detail thing? Do you feel like there is something that teams could actually just poke at as we get into the knockout stage? Or is that registered on your radar, though?
I mean, it's something I've put down. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a massive deal, but it is the knockout round, so you don't want to give up second shots. So they need to do a better job, clean that up, get the stop, finish the stop. I think it's going to be interesting against Brazil, who had 11 offensive rebounds against France, 12 against Germany, 16 against Japan. So do you really want to put yourself in a position where you are playing good defense, but they are getting offensive rebounds, getting second chances, surviving, and or getting kickouts for threes off those? I mean, they hit 17 threes against Japan. Won't be apples to apples, but I would say they might want to lock in on just finishing those stops, especially because when they get stops, they get a chance to run. So it's not something where I'm just like red alarm, but it is something where they need to take care of it. So it's not a scenario where you're in a tight game and you give something up or a team's able to extend the lead. That's where I'm at with it. Is this one of those things that you're keeping in the back of your pocket and Brazil gets 20 offensive rebounds? Like, well, I told you.
Yes. Oh, but see? No, it all because it's one of those where, like, obviously Team USA just wins by a bunch, so you can't, like, press the big red button on it. But it is, like, something that I've been monitoring. And then in the Puerto Rico game in particular, there were just some very loud examples of how is nobody picking up a body. Like, if you just get out-jumped, out-leveraged, you see the work being done, and they just win that battle and win that possession, that's basketball. That just happens. I don't want the trend of shot goes up, we're standing flat-footed, and people are just able to shoot in front and snag those. Like, those are the ones where I'm like, hey, I understand your Team USA and you're really good and you're probably going to win anyway, but, like, you got to clean that stuff up. Because as we get to the knockout stage, that's going to be a point of emphasis for Brazil, I would imagine. We may be able to hurt them here. We may be able to give ourselves some extra chances if we crash from here. And so that's where it's like, eliminate as many of those kind of conversations as you can. Again, it's basketball. You can't play everything perfectly. You're not going to make 100% of your shots, grab literally every available rebound, et cetera. But like, if you can eliminate some of the loud stuff like that, I think that'll be helpful for Team USA. Also,
can I be annoying real quick before you hit your also?
Sure.
Wouldn't the game plan for Brazil just be to make shots?
Well, yes. But they also recognize that they're not going to make 100% of their shots, so therefore. but the quick also is just going to be, you don't want to give extra opportunities on offensive rebounds and kickouts to Iago Santos, who is incredibly fun and incredibly good. So, but yeah, I would just like to see Team USA buckle down on that front. That's it. That's all.
I respect it.
It's very funny when I get to the nitpicking stage and Steve's like, this brother here.
That's good. Two thumbs up. The people love it.
Fair. The people love it. Fair enough. Very quickly, on the stat front for Team USA, converted 63% of their twos, which is pretty darn good. Only shot 28% from three, 72% from the line. Puerto Rico converted 49% of their twos, 27% of their threes, and went 3 of 6 from the free throw line. 30 assists on 40 made shots for Team USA in this game, a 75% assist rate, 20 assists on 35 made shots for Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico did win the rebounding battle. And once again, double-digit offensive rebounds in this one for Puerto Rico. 16 stocks, 10 steals, 6 blocks for Team USA. Ultimately, won the turnover battle, only committing 11 while Puerto Rico had 16. And Team USA won the bench battle 52-37. That, of course, led again by Anthony Edwards and his 26 points off the bench. Kevin Durant with 11 points off the bench. Anthony Davis with 10 points and 6 rebounds and a pair of blocks off the bench as well. With your starters, Jason Tatum with a double-double, 10 points and 10 rebounds, with 2 steals. LeBron James, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists and a block. Joel Embiid, 15 points to boot. Jose Alvarado leading the way for Puerto Rico with 18 points. Any closing Team USA Puerto Rico thoughts before we move?
No.
All right, then. With the firm now, we can move to some of these other games. Canada defeating Spain, 88-85. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander with 20 points. Andrew Nembhard, 18 points off the bench. Also closed that game. Made plenty of big plays down the stretch. RJ Barrett, 16 points. Hit a big three late. Dylan Brooks with 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Santi Aldama, who's been killing it during group play. Only 7 points on 8 shots for him, but did grab 11 rebounds. Racked up 4 assists and blocked a couple of shots. Dario Brizuela with 17 points in 14 minutes off the bench. He was keeping Spain afloat with threes in that fourth quarter. Sergio Llull with 13 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists off the bench. Germany with an 85-71 victory over France. And buddy, France did not have a good time generating offense in that game. They didn't have any fun. And the only thing that was more fun than watching Germany's defense was listening to the broadcast team get even more excited as the game went on. They really can't do anything against this German defense. Another stop by German. It was very funny. Also, a quick stat from that one. Germany's starting lineup made 10 threes. France as a team made 9. It is difficult to win when you also have that kind of shooting going for you. But Franz Wagner and Dennis Schröder both with 26 points apiece. Wagner with 5 rebounds and still in the block. Schröder with 9 assists and a steal. Victor Wembanyama with 14 and 12. Evan Fournier with 10. Rudy Gobert, 4 points and 4 blocks in 18 minutes. Serbia defeating South Sudan, 96-85. Bogdan Bogdanovic with 30 points and 8 assists. Also racked up 2 steals and 2 blocks. Nikola Jokic with 22 and 13. Vasilije Micic with 15, 7 and 7 off the bench. South Sudan and their coaching staff not very happy with the refereeing in that one. The post-game comments were interesting, to say the least. But on the free throw mark, Serbia took 31 free throws, made 21 of those. South Sudan went 5 of 6. To give just a quick hint of why South Sudan was upset with how that game was officiated. But either way, Carly Jones with 17 points, 5 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals in that one. Mario Shayok with 17 points and 2 steals. Nudy Omot with 14 points in that one. Steve, if you were able to catch any of those, did anything in particular pop for you in those matchups?
Well, first off, I will say you may owe an apology to our French fans by the end of this episode or the beginning of the next one, because you have taken apart both of their national teams in a span of 25 minutes.
No.
Oh.
Hey, man, good defenses are good defenses. It's kind of tough.
Might be an error on your part. Anyways, I think the biggest thing is probably just I'm more looking forward than anything else and trying to see what it looks like for Canada in this matchup against France, right? Because the biggest thing that we've seen from Canada so far is their defense. They're mixing the switching. They've had great ball pressure. They've had really good defensive activity and rotations. You mentioned France's struggles to generate against Germany. That could copy and paste. Now, on the other side, can Canada keep their offensive flow up against the size that France does have on the inside? Mm-hmm. Because as good as Canada's been, it can get a little sticky sometimes. Can ball down. But a lot of it is dictated on them being able to drive and get in the paint and make plays out of that. Does France kind of take that away and both teams are just in the mud? Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting for Germany to have this run. And, you know, it is the Olympics, but Giannis.
You don't want to deal with that.
would you like to deal with Giannis? Like, I'm intrigued. I imagine we'll see doubles, we'll see help. But it's not like the most fun thing in a single elimination format. Have you seen or anything that would take you to believe we're not going to see Germany and Canada in the semifinals?
We'll see how many threes the Greece guards can hit, because that's where it gets funny. Because the other thing that popped in that Germany-France game in particular, that Germany was just letting it fly from deep, particularly in that first half. And it was just like, oh, snap, France can't really generate anything. And now everyone for Germany is hitting threes right now. And so it just felt more like a snowball effect on that front. If the threes do dry out for Germany, and or if Greece can knock down some shots in addition to Giannis being Giannis, like, that could get very funny. And as you were talking about France, Canada, like, as good as Canada is, like, the one thing they don't really have, they don't have a ton of, like, front court size in abundance. They have front court skill, and they can invert their offense and do a lot of fun things. But, like, Wimby's going to be the tallest guy on the court. Rudy might just be the second tallest guy on the court. And so is there a way to, you know, one, to your point, let's stifle some of these drives. You got to deal with this rim protection. On the other end, can we win the possession battle with a bunch of extra off, with a bunch of extra chances on the offensive glass? So, like, I think there are pathways to both teams winning. Like, you know, to your, I guess, to the harder question, like, I do think Germany and Canada should be favored. Like, those would probably still just be my picks to come out. And then they have to face each other, which, that, boy, that'd be a fun basketball game. But there are absolutely pathways to both.
Just very quickly, as you wanted reaction from the games, I did get a note from a listener who will remain anonymous. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander against Spain, 20 points, 13 free throw attempts. Spain only made 13 free throws. They had 17 total attempts as a team. I was asked to tell you to watch the play at 4:26 in the fourth quarter as Shea Gilgeous-Alexander took a step back three and was awarded with free throws.
Okay. So my only question there would be, I want to make sure I'm not like blurring games together in my head. Because didn't Shea also get hit with an offensive foul on the kickout later in the quarter? Am I remembering this correctly?
I presented facts.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, like, I don't think there's a Shea agenda happening in these.
Well, no, I was told based on what you said last pod that I had to.
Oh, yeah, because he had to 16 points on 8 of 10 shooting without. Yeah.
Sorry. I don't mean, I was trying to serve the community.
No, that's nothing with you. You're fine. I appreciate you for being a very important connector and, you know, a voice for the community. So thank you, Steve, and thank you, anonymous community member. Also, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is a bucket. So we'll just sprinkle that one in there. But on the other side of the bracket, we have Serbia, Australia again, and we have Team USA taking on Brazil. Tell you what, I'm excited for Serbia, Australia.
Tell me that more.
That should be a fun one. Like, one, like, I'm always excited to watch Nikola Jokic play basketball. But is it just Jokic versus Jock that's just going to be the is that the bit where
are we bringing this back from that one series where it's...
Hey, I'm just saying. No, like, Australia's played well. They have a bunch of guards that can just hit you. Like, what was the which game was that where Dante Exum just had like 15 points in 10 minutes or whatever it was? Just like, all right, he's also on this team and can just give you instant offense if necessary. I think the guard play is going to dictate a lot in this one. As we've seen, when Bogdanović isn't dominant, get a little hazy and a lot of pressure on Nikola Jokic to carry the offense. But when he hits, where do you send help from? Because Bogdan can knock down open shots. He can also boogie out of pick and roll. He can get downhill a little bit. And then you also have to deal with all the things that Jokic can do. They have bigs that are willing cutters and willing spacers on top of that. And so I think that's going to be a high-scoring affair, if I had to guess. Which means it's going to be like 71-68. And I'll have to take the L in the next pod. But I am anticipating a high-scoring affair in that one, so I'm excited to watch. And did you have any other Team USA Brazil thoughts?
I'm interested to see if Team USA is going to be ready to defend at a high level and which path Brazil goes on. Are they going to try and be patient? Are they going to let it fly? What pressure point are they going to try and hit? And are they going to be able to have the physicality on the other end to kind of try and take Team USA out of rhythm? I think the biggest thing is to get Team USA into the mud to a degree. To where, hey, we're not sure what we want to do defensively. We're not sure what we want to do offensively. Not easy, by the way. Very tall task. But you've got to try and extend the game, extend the fight. And so Brazil is a little bit of a tricky matchup. Based on who Team USA has played, it's nothing new. But at the same time, the physicality of Brazil stands out. If they want to let it fly, they can let it fly. So they will have to be up for the challenge or else they could see themselves in a real back and forth game.
I feel you. So quick question on this game. How much do you think we see of Bruno Caboclo on Embiid? And who gets frustrated first?
The answer is not Joel Embiid. If that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Be honest there, bud.
I feel like there's a lot of potential for, hey, Bruno has racked up three fouls in the first 217 And also, Bruno has drawn two offensive fouls in the first 3 minutes, and now he's yelling, and it's just a whole bunch of stuff. And Joel's like, "What are you? How are you calling that? What's going on here?" I'm very excited if those two match up with each other directly. The antics that may ensue. Also, for Brazil, like it's gonna be a lot of pick and roll, regardless of what the actual pace is gonna be. It's gonna be a whole bunch of pick and roll. That Team USA has to be ready for that.
I understand. I respect it. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Who do you think presents the biggest challenge to Team USA?
I think at this point, I think entering the tournament, it would have been like I would have been trying to whittle down between Germany, France, Canada, and Serbia because of the Jokic factor. Jokic and Bogdan, but mostly the Jokic factor. I think at this point, it's very much between Germany and Canada for me. I do think Canada just has the guard play, which I have a question for you on that front as well. But I think in general, Germany has the guard play. They can pressure defensively, have a lot of fun. Germany just, they also have the guard play. Dennis Schroeder is just faster than everyone else. I feel like he can, and he's had success against Team USA before. He can just live in the paint in a way that can bother Team USA. You have both the Wagners. Daniel Theis, I think he's played really well throughout this entire run, and in particular, like, he's done a really good job defensively. I guess I will lean Germany right now just because they have a little bit more size in the front court, and I really like the defense. To the Canada side, because one of the things that's holding me back, again, I mentioned their guard play is really good. Are you concerned at all about Jamal Murray?
No.
Okay.
What would there be to be concerned about?
Because, like, the box score production isn't there. But more than anything, like, and maybe this could just be, I could just be being too harsh or just being, like, super laser focused on it in an unfair way. But it doesn't feel like he has the same burst on some of these. And I don't know how much of that is just randomness or something that I should be, like, concerned about heading into the season. Like, it'll be one thing if he was just missing shots, but it feels like he's missing some of the shots that he would normally make, and he's also working a little bit harder to get by people. And so that's where I'm just like, that feels weird to me.
I don't think that's unfair, but probably adjusting a little bit to a little bit of a different role, eh?
Yeah.
Within that second unit, like, it's probably easier for Andrew Nembhard to do Andrew Nembhard things off the bench than for Jamal Murray to insert that into.
Yeah.
Stint A, stint B.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that's considering, fair. You know, that's different when you warm up to start and you warm up, sit, now you come back in. So.
Yeah. And he's a rhythm player to that point. So, yeah, not unfair at all. But I figured I would ask because it has been a quiet stretch, at least through group play. But naturally, this is also just Jamal Murray. So if he has 20 points off the bench, I'm not blinking an eye. Like, this is the type of talent that he is. But I will say, like, not having that banked in is part of the reason why I also lean Germany over Canada. Because obviously Shea is incredible. But you kind of zoom out with the roster, like, Canada, not the greatest shooting team on top of that. So if you do have the cold three-point shooting, if you don't have Jamal also supplying that, like, just what does that look like? And then there's, again, just the general size difference. If we're talking about a Team USA matchup in particular, I'll probably trust Germany's bigs and their collective size dealing with Team USA than Canada.
I hear you. It's going to be a fun bracket either way, I'll tell you that much.
Sure.
I don't know any combinations that would just ultimately be super disappointing. Like, it's going to be some real hoop. Now, I am intrigued, especially for Team USA, what knockout factor throws things in. Do we get a foul trouble game? Do we get a team that shoots lights out from three game? Like, which, because the knockout round does have a little bit of funniness to it. So, like, does Derek White just get a horrific whistle or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Good, funny. But excited to see what these next few days are going to look like. Any closing thoughts on anything Olympic related or anything at all?
Do you want to talk about Lauri Markkanen recklessly for 2 minutes?
Sure. So he said, actually, y'all ain't about to have me in trade talks for the next 5 months. I'm going to wait the day after to do.
So by the time this comes out, that will be the day that Lauri Markkanen is eligible to renegotiate and extend, correct?
Yes.
That day is also 6 months to the day of the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And so if Lauri Markkanen signs the extension on August 7th, mm-hmm. guess who cannot be traded?
Until the offseason. Lauri Markkanen.
Now, safe space.
Yeah.
It was during this research where I also learned that Jared Allen can because of when he signed his.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But no, so hey, good for Utah. Good for Lauri. Hey, look, man. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be reckless, but dog, y'all traded me twice in a year. No, thank you.
Actually, y'all are moving me on my time if I'm going to be moved, actually. And also, just to circle very back very quickly, since, you know, at the end of the pod, safe space, only the real dunkers are listening at this point. So if the Cleveland Cavaliers are like 29 and 25, are you telling me that Jared Allen will be a New Orleans Pelican?
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Dunker Spot. You can find us on all the great platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google ain't there no more, Podbean, Stitcher, Wonder. You can listen to us anywhere you'd like. You can follow him on Twitter at NikiasNBA. You can follow me on Twitter at SteveJones20. Please join our Dunker Spot watch parties. The link is in the description. We're having a good time. We're hanging out and talking about life and hoops and playing video games, a lot of NCAA 25. It's just been a really good time. So if you want to hang out with some neat folks and talk about cool things, that's your vibe there. But yeah, with that, we bid you farewell. Au revoir, mes amis. Say adios. Deuces, ooses.
Hey, great show, Steve. Was Noah Lyles right?
No, God, no, God. Oh, my God, no. Why did you do that? Man ran a whole thing, and we're doing a debate. It's hit the horns. Richie, can you get me out of here?